You must have come here for freedom, to get rid of sorrow, suffering. During this life, birth, disease, old age, death, and repeated history at the back of this, you can do away with this by simply listening. Listen to me, what I speak, and all is over. I don't give you any task, any work to do. It's not Barcelona that you have to run. It is satsang. You have not to exert here, not even think a thought. Mind you, you can free yourself this moment if you don't, this life, if you don't, in 1,000 lives. You have to simply listen it very carefully. How? It's very easy. It's very easy. Those who are very serious, sincere, devoted to themselves, and those who have come for tamasha, they are not going to have it. What's this word you have to listen is the movement. The movement from the mind. If you give rise to the movement in the mind, simply movement, then the trouble arises. Endless trouble at your disposal arises. And this is only a notion that the movement is now rising from the consciousness itself of I am so-and-so, and you are so-and-so, that's all. This is the movement of mind. How much time does it take? And how much time will it take to stop it also? If you move this, endless creations you are going to create, including the creators, preservators, and the destroyers themselves, belong to this one movement of thought. If you check it, all is over. If you don't, it is not going to end, because if it is a reality, then it can end. Because it's your notion, the notion is not real. Therefore, it's not going to end unless you see the source of the notion itself, when the rises, when this notion is rising, ideation that I am, and you are, that's all. This is the movement of the mind. The first movement of the mind, here arises the trouble. I am. This is the first movement. And you know very well, this morning when you got up, you were very happy. What is this waking state? First of all, is the movement in the consciousness. Then this is called waking state. The world is appearing to you, mountains, rivers, forests, individuals, birds and animals. This is called the waking movement from the consciousness. Same in the dream also, because you have no, these objects you don't have, you sleep little while, then the mind is not even quiet in the sleep state. So you again create things like that, egotism like this. It creates another world. Who is responsible for this creation? Who? Not the God, not anybody else. not the creator even. It is you who slept comfortably, but you can't take rest even when you sleep, and now you are creating another world within yourself. You see mountains, rivers, elephants, tigers in the apartment. You can't keep quiet. And then you sleep. It is just alone. These objects are not there. Subject is not there. Only the ego is there, just like the chicks return in the evening under the wings of the mother hen, the ego. They keep quiet because of ego, darkness. Next morning, they will jump out of the wings again, the same thing, see, for a little while to take rest because your mind is exhausted by transactions of subject-object relationships. And then, transcending these three states, waking, dreaming, sleep, there is another state called peaceful state, you see, where you have peace. Very few would know this state about. Peaceful state, consciousness, happiness, bliss, existence. And yet, beyond this fourth also, there is yet another state. Few, rare one can go there, not to return back. There ends the whole matter. From here it starts. And everywhere there is this state from where this is the substratum. This is the substratum. Whenever you think of something, it is concealed. This state of supreme consciousness is concealed within the idea itself. If I show you this kerchief, even this is a kerchief. Length, breadth, white, its uses, name is kerchief. Form is this, you see. But you know the cotton you can't see. Cotton is not seen. No one can say it's a cotton kerchief. Or different languages, the name and form. If you remove the name and form, you will see the cotton. If you remove the name and form, all that you see here and now, whatever you see, remove the name and form. You are in that state beyond the fourth which I described, you see. It will appear itself. It is there. That's not to be gained. It is already there because you are otherwise engaged in your fantasies. You have no time to look what is concealed. You only give importance to what is seen, importance to form and your notions, you see. So if you check your notion, one word, if you check your notion and intention, simply for the reason, don't allow any notion to rise or any intention in the mind, you see, for just this instant of time. What's going to happen? So this is one word. How to do it? Not to give rise. You must ask me a question. Why? How to do? Not to rise, give rise to this movement at all, you see. So this is, can be done when you make inquiry. When you make inquiry into this process of movements, what is this movement going on? That's all you have got to do it. And this inquiry is enough instruction from someone, and this is enough to listen from someone. That's all you have got to do as a student, and this is enough for the teacher to speak, and there's nothing beyond this to speak and nothing beyond this to listen either. What else can you read in any book if you don't listen to this, that I have to inquire into the movement of the mind itself. Strike at the root of the mind. If you see a mango tree in the seed, you don't see leaves nor the fruits. But in the seed, in the small seed of a tree, there are leaves, there are branches, there are flowers, there are fruits that you can't see, you see. So to see this, you have to inquire. This is the minutest of the minute. May it take a millionth part of the tip of your hair. That's what it said. Millionth part of the tip, so minute, so subtle it is. And only how will you reach it? You can't see with your eyes, you can't touch with your hands. Only by inquiry you are going to reach the most subtlest place, and it is reaching you there. Inquire. This inquiry is not going to end. This inquiry is not going to end unless this subject who is inquiring is itself consumed into the inquiry. First, let the inquirer consume itself into the inquiry itself, and then the inquiry will be consumed into that which has not yet been described. And you are that. Not that you are going to become something else at some other time. No, you are already that. You are not going to gain anything. Not going to gain anything, not to achieve anything, not to learn anything. If you get rid of all that you have learned till date, heard till date, read till date, seen till date, what's left? Just all what you have acquired, that is only hearsay. You are borrowed. You are borrowed from someone else. It's not your nature, it's not your true self. You will return to your own self. And self, nobody knows what the self is, you see. You attribute self to some particular form or name that can be seen, smelled, touched or heard about. Which cannot be seen or touched, that I am going to refer. So how to do it? Simply inquire into the nature of what is seen, what this universe is, and what is the origin. Origin is not other than your own notion, because you have become first I am so and so. And then there is the world, there are relations, and this is the world, and this is your notion. Now if you find out the substratum of the notion, the source of the notion, and how to do it, by simple inquire. What is the source of the notion? Simply look down. There's no other way. You don't need to do anything. Simply keep quiet and don't think. That's all. You have not to do anything. You have not seen this moment of quietness for the last millions of years. You have never been quiet. And we are going to speak of this quietness, which is your nature and which is the substratum of everything that is seen. And without this, we cannot have rest. And this is what is called freedom, enlightenment, wisdom, existence, consciousness, bliss, satyam, shivam, sundaram, whatever you call it. And yet it has no name. Yet it has no name. Not even consciousness. It is so empty of even emptiness. How can you describe it? When you see a star, you can see a star because of the skies. You can see a star, you can't see a star unless the background of the sky. When you see the universe, you must be something, consciousness, which compels you to see the universe. When you see your own body, there must be consciousness through which you have experience of your body. What is this consciousness? You have never before thought of it. What is the basis that you see, you even to start with your body, how this body is seen? There must be some basis through which you are aware of body. There must be some substratum, some source through which you are experiencing the body itself. What is that? If you keep quiet, then only you will know it. Not by moving of the mind. If you move the mind, there is body. And if you move the mind to know the cause, the source of the body, you multiply it. So how to do it? By not doing anything, not thinking anything. You just imagine, if if you do not think, just to see the source of the body, you have not to think what is the source now. You are multiplying again. So if you understand this thing, even if you understand, you miss it, you have not to understand it. If you understand, you are thinking, still you are thinking. So free, you have to be so free, not even to put into activity even your understanding. So free, no one has seen this freedom before.
Gangaji appeared soon after he sent out a prayer, a question asking if there is any embodiment of truth in human form on this planet. Before this time, I had encountered many spiritual teachers, so it was a good luck and good discrimination that you did not sell your soul to a teacher and with no better fruit from the tree. So this is also your luck, not to fall in the clutches of some teacher who has not been able to find his own self, and how could he speak of this to anyone of that. This is another good luck. And you could see very well that these people deviate from the truth themselves. They do not know the truth. So this is your, what you say, intelligence, gift from the divine. And this gift is only to discriminate whether someone himself is a good person or not. I just mentioned a small story from Rishikesh. One girl she was from Argentina, and when she came to India along with the swarm of hippies from all over the world, the locust swarm. Rishikesh was full of these hippies, and I was there. This was 1969. So this girl, not known to me, will bring some fruits and some sweets and stay for some time, and then she will say, I'll go back to my ashram where I stay. And I said, which is your ashram? And she mentioned me a name of one ashram in the last of all the ashrams. It was just coming up on the beach of Ganga. And she said, my Guruji is just like my father, and he does not allow me to go out and meet other sadhus, so that I don't fall in hands of such sadhus, chilam sadhus, because every sadhu, they smoke hash. So he was very careful to not to give her any contact. But even this sounds a good advice, but then even in this advice, there is some personal interest. This is also not a good advice, not to see others. Even Mahesh Yogi on the top of the mountain, he also never allowed anyone to mix with any other saint in Rishikesh, where there are many good saints also, and sadhus also. They said, but we have come here to see you, and then also we have come here to have a bath in Ganga, so we must go down. And he said, you need not go down to have a bath. I will bring the Ganga up, and I will pump out the water from the Ganga over, so that you need not go. And one of his secretary, he was from Dusseldorf, so he used to go. He said, I'm just going for buying a dry food, which were not available. Otherwise, very good food was served by in the canteen of Mahesh Yogi. So one man came, I was just sitting at the bank of Ganga, and he told me, do you speak English? I said, oh, yes, little bit. And can I ask you questions? Most welcome. So he asked me many questions, which I replied. And he was very happy. He went up and spoke to Mahesh Yogi, I have been asking you these questions for the last 8 months I am here. And he was the president of TM, Transcendental Meditation Center in Germany. And he came here for a visit again to see him. And then he said, there's one Baba sitting on the beach of the Ganga, and I asked him questions, and immediately he replied, and I am satisfied. And you have not been giving me the answers, telling me that I am not yet ripe to receive my answers. How this man immediately replied me, and I'm satisfied. And he said, there is a particular special time when we give reply to these questions. And that time was the time when you met this man. So this teacher this is the kind of teachers, okay. But this is little out of the way. I was speaking about Argentinian girl. I said, where do you stay? She said, when I came, I had about $60,000 with me, and which my Guruji said that you don't keep this money with you because anybody can steal away from you. Therefore, you leave this money for me because I have to make 3-4 rooms for you and one special room I'll make for you. So I gave this money to him and I tell him that I need some dry fruits. So for that I come here, but I saw you always sitting at the bank of Ganga. So I wanted to see you and I am very satisfied with you. And now it is my duty to speak what you have told to my Guruji. I don't hide anything from him. And now, like you, she has found that this teacher is empty inside. He has got nothing to give to anybody because, first of all, he is illiterate. Number two, he was a sweetmeat merchant making jalebis in Aligarh. And somehow, perhaps his stars have brought, he was also living at the bank of Ganga, and the people used to meet him and he could not speak. He was not speaking, so they called him his silent sadhu, all the more qualified. So he got money and purchased land and made a panashram. So she said, I will learn knowledge from you and pass on to my guru, because this poor man is only lost in making buildings and getting money, and I should see that he becomes enlightened. And this is the duty of every student to give knowledge, first to receive knowledge and then to give knowledge to his own guru. So in this case also, she could find out that he was missing something, therefore borrow it. But this is discrimination. So this girl later on used to come to me and left him. And then was staying, and money he lost. He said, I've spent all the money. But she said, I can get money from my father, he's very rich. So I said, you don't need that much money. So I have some money and we have to live in a simple way, it's no problem. So she lived with me for a long time, and what happened, she fell sick. She was drinking water straight away from the Ganga during the monsoon, and I thought this was not good. She was not going to have a clean water, and Indians, they were immune, so they can drink dirty water and nothing happens to them. And the Westerns have got a Western stomach. If they eat food, so next day they get diarrhea, you see. Yeah. So discrimination also you had. I asked you the other day, your name, Grace, is this also has helped you? your name, surname is Grace. Your name is Grace or surname is Grace?
First name.
Who gave you this name?
Shantimai. Huh? I just met Shantimai last week. And she gave me this name.
Okay. So first Gangaji sent and then Shantimai also directed you. So good luck, and this is called Grace. Okay. And if you want to translate this Grace into Sanskrit, which will have a better force on yourself, and you can use the same word but in Sanskrit, because most people in India will not understand the meaning of Grace. So if you give them a Sanskrit name, it will have more impact on Indians at least. Okay. Give me this. Karuna. Karuna means grace.
My other question is, with Ramana, 54 years is teaching, beautiful teachings, simple teachings, very, very clear, in many languages they're translated into. Why aren't there more Papajis out there if the teaching is valid and real? Because those people weren't sheep who went there to Ramana Ashram. Why aren't there more of you, beings like you, if it's real? Or is it just because it's not the teaching, it's just that you are a special being?
Because I don't teach anything. I don't teach anything. What do I teach? I simply say, keep quiet. Simply say, keep quiet. I don't teach anything. I never teach anything. Simply say, keep quiet. And you don't miss anything. And if you read all the books of the world, past, present and future, you don't get anything from the books. You don't get anything from the books. I don't think any books, even a librarian who's sitting in the millions of books, he's not an enlightened man. Tell me anybody who has gone through many books, even Vedas. You load the Vedas on the back of a donkey, will he become a pandit? He will remain a donkey. All the books you load on the back of a donkey, all the sutras, all the Vedas, all the Upanishads, all the wise books on the back of a donkey. Will he be enlightened?
No.
Then, because he can't keep quiet. So if you keep quiet, this is called something else. It's not bleating like sheep, you see. Not even roaring like the lions. It is very strong, very powerful. It is silence itself. freedom itself, nature itself. It is the nature of consciousness. Simply try for 1 second, keep quiet. That's what I say. Don't do anything. Don't activate your mind. Don't stir a single thought. Don't think. Simply keep quiet and see what do you miss. Your nature is to keep quiet. You came from quietness, you came from silence, and you have to return to silence. You are dancing for a little while, you see. Little while you are dancing. And this dance also will end in silence, you see. How long one can dance? And this dancing is arrogance, you see. You can also dance, but saying that it is because of silence you are dancing, then you can dance also, you can enjoy dancing also, you can play the game very well, but not with arrogance, you see. I am doing this thing, I have done that, this is called arrogance. You become silence itself. Freedom itself, compassion itself, do whatever you want. I don't tell you do this and do that, you see. Then you are incarnation of peace. Everybody is incarnation of peace. Only they do not know. Only they have to be reminded that you are already that. That's what I tell. I don't make something different. I tell them only this, you are already that. If anyone tells you, I will make you such and such thing, don't believe him. I tell you, you are that itself. Gold is gold. Gold will remain gold, you see. Wherever it is kept, it is gold. If you do not know, it may be different things. You are peace. Fundamentally, you are peace. That's why you like to be happy. Why you like to be happy? You attribute it to things. There, you make mistake. If I have company of this person, I will be happy. If I acquire this palace, I will be happy. There you make mistake. You attribute happiness to objects. That is mistake. Even there, if you are a wise man, you can see by acquiring anything, the satisfaction doesn't come out of the objects which you have attained, but your desire to attain some objects is no more there, and you are in peace at that time. You are in peace at that time. You wanted to buy a palace, very rich, big palace. And somehow you could buy it. You are happy to live in a palace. And what has given you happiness? Not the palace, in the palace also, in the emptiness of the palace you are living. Not enter into the walls, not in the floor, not in the roof. We are sitting into the emptiness, isn't it now also? We call it, we are living in the room. It's emptiness only. It is the emptiness that gives us happiness. When we are free of any thought, that gives us happiness. When you are free of a thought, any desire, any hope, any intention, that is the place of happiness. Don't forget it. At that time you dance.
Do you still progress in this final stage of evolution where you are now? This is a very good question. Very good question. Many people will say this is the final stage. Everything is finished. And there is no other evolution and no other progress to do. Everybody will speak to you wherever you will visit. But I still have something more to do in this direction which is not mentioned in any book. Because there is no end of understanding. As long as there is very pure intention, there is something else, something more to be done after complete and final realization that I don't speak, I have never spoken. But I ask, I see many books and I don't find any direction. Not that the people, some people who have realized, they have not mentioned, it doesn't mean that it is I who am hiding this. Perhaps they are hiding this and not telling. That is, after the realization, someone will know it, but he cannot express it. There is no word for it. And even beyond intellectual grasp. So I want to tell what I am holding, and I call it a secret, very sacred. Only in the Gita I find, when Krishna says, this knowledge which I am giving to you, O Arjuna, is sacred knowledge. And I tell to you this knowledge not to be retold to anyone. So this mention only I see in the Gita, but not from the mouth of any other one. I know something so rare, so sacred, so secret, and without oral description, that I have to tell to some people whom I like. There are quite people in the West, very nice person. Still, not that I am hiding, I cannot speak. Perhaps the time will come when I will speak, you see. Something very, very subtle to be understood by supreme intellect. If even I speak, no one can understand. So, not by touch or by look or by blessing, not by that even, something beyond that. When it is said that the Guru or the realized one is one with God, does that mean that he is able to see through everybody's eyes? Does it mean that he is separate individual but still one with the ultimate, like a separate wave from the ocean but still the same? there is no difference between a realized man and God. God with G capital, O capital, D capital. There is no difference at all, because Guru and God has no form. In formlessness there is no difference. Does that mean that he is able to see through everybody's eyes? There is no body at all through which he has to be seen. There is no body, as in the dream you are living in a skyscraper, floor number 22, and in that you dream that there is a tiger is pouncing on you. First of all, tigers will not go to 22 floor in the lift. In the lift in the night, he will not travel in that. But when it pounces, then you are afraid of the tiger, as it is a real tiger, you see. But no tiger can go. When you wake up, still you have fear in your mind of the tiger which you have seen. Tiger is not there, never came. It was just a dream, and you know, dream is not reality. How this tiger became real to you still in your waking state? Knowing it, that there's no tiger, still you see there is tiger. And you speak to many people and still you are fear in your mind. So like this, a man who is awake, for him the world appears in different forms. Yet he behaves like that and describes like that. He suffers when others are suffering. He is happy when others are happy. So like this he pulls on, and nobody can understand why he is behaving like this thing. You have to behave like others. Still, in your mind you see nothing ever exists is the ultimate truth. You see. From the beginning, nothing exists. This, knowing this, you behave as if you are with them. When the teacher opens your eyes, then you can see clearly, and no difference between God and you. Behavior is same. God also behaves. Everybody is God, nobody knows.
Beloved Papaji, I read about you in Germany about 1 year ago. I said, right now I don't feel any attraction to this man, but when the right time will come, I will go to him. 1 year later, this December, Shanti, is she here? Shanti Shailendra. I don't feel any. 1 year later, this December, when I was in Nepal, you came into my mind again. I could not stop thinking of you. The time had come. I had to go now. It was very urgent. There was a feeling like, this time I don't want to miss again. Some days later, I arrived in Indranagar, went to your house and said, I want to see Papaji. They asked my name and after some minutes told me lovingly to come to satsang next morning. Next morning, I saw your head from behind when you left your car, and it struck me to my innermost core. I was feeling a little shy and deep respect at the same time. I was about
the same feeling as when the lover is meeting his beloved for the first time. It's a good sign. It's a good sign. You will see, you are very shy yourself. Yes. Even here, because there are so many people, and these things happen alone, in quietness. Therefore, we are shy. So many people will listen to us, but we speak. Isn't it? Yes. I am also very shy, I cannot speak. And he looks to be shy. He says, it is so rare to be shy, isn't it? Otherwise nobody is shy. They do everything on the footpaths, you see. We can't behave like that. Yes. We will keep it a secret. We will keep it a secret, and I will speak to you, you speak to me, and nobody should hear what's happening. So let us be shy and speak between each other, not telling what is happening. As nobody tells, like a shy girl, nobody tells what happened last night, nobody will tell. Sitting in first satsang, I suddenly realized that there was no fear in me. I was simply sitting quiet. In the second satsang, when did you come? You came 3 days ago only, I heard, no?
1 week ago.
1 week ago, that we were not having satsang 2 days, you see. It seemed satsang. In second satsang, I burst out in laughter with you. In this laughter, I felt one with you, and I got much like to laugh. On Tuesday satsang, I became aware that I was feeling to be one with all the people of the satsang here. So now you should not be shy, no? You are one. And this is a very good experience. I'm very happy to listen a man in 1 week says, I feel I am one with everybody, you see. This is a real experience, you see. That doesn't come so easily, you see. So it is the reward of your previous sadhanas or grace, whatever you call it. But in this life, I don't think you don't show anything that you have done. No penance, you don't see, you don't say that you have gone to Himalayan caves for performing any tapas penance. So you must have done a large amount of penances and have won the grace of gods, of teachers. Now, in this life, you have done it, you see. Feeling one with everybody is the highest experience, you see. It seemed that I was living in them. This was a kind of very pleasant shock to me when I arrived here in Lucknow. So not only feels to be one with all the people of the satsang, but he feels that he is living in them. So very few people will understand what does he mean. Living in the heart of all the beings, men, animals, birds, the heart of all is that, you see. And you have to identify yourself not with this Shailendra, Shanti, whatever, but that one seated in the heart of all the beings. It has no name. It has no name, it has no form. So if you can absolutely be convinced I am that itself, your work coming to Lucknow is over. Always you feel that I am this, speak like that, you see. As if you are speaking a mirror, keep a mirror before you and you speak to the mirror and ask, who are you? Like this you have to speak, a reflection of that in all faces, in all plants, in all animals, in all birds, you see. So this is the topmost attainment for which we are born here, to feel that, you see. Then there will be no more coming, no more going. We have never been, we would never be. This is the experience we have to achieve somehow. So, my dear Shailendra, I am very happy for this. You are most welcome to see any member of the satsang wherever you like. Everybody is ready to speak to you. It is dawning. It is Papaji, my coming here feels like simply following some flow of energy involving my mind only in buying the right ticket. It is dawning on me that all my struggling and all my seeking, including this I and this mind and this ego, is coming to an end right now here. Excellent. I was speaking to Rukas about this thing, this problem. I am the body, has to go. And here is the man who has done it, you see. This problem, solving this problem, every problem will be solved. And is coming to an end right now here. I have found my living master. With deep respect and love, I bow down, Shanti Shailendra. Very good.
This is a song about a story you told us a few months ago. You had said something about a devotee of Ram who wanted to embrace Ram, but Ram was a god of morality and wouldn't allow a physical embrace. So in the next life, this devotee wanted to be a gopi of Krishna's, and not only a gopi, but Krishna's flute. So, she was a gopi who had a wish to be. She was a gopi who had a wish that came true. She was a gopi who had a wish to be Krishna's flute. Krishna embraced her, put his sweet lips to her. Every breath became a melody. La 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 la. All day long in Krishna's song. Master, I'm your gopi. You're looking